Well, welcome, Summit family. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Christmas holiday. Summit services were absolutely incredible. I hope you had an opportunity to attend. Man, I'd love to know your favorite parts of the service. So you can type that in, you can share amongst yourselves. Mine, I think, definitely had to be the opening song video, was just incredible. And then probably the kids video just had me cracking up. The gold, frankincense, and murder was quite possibly my favorite part. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go find our Christmas service from last week on our YouTube account. If you can't see me, if you're just listening on a podcast, we are doing worship a little differently this week. We are actually online only here at the Summit Church this week. We kind of give everybody a break for 1 week, literally just 1 week the entire year, but we still gather online. Our hope is that families are gathering together. And so if you're watching this right now, your kids are not with you, go grab them. We've purposely put together kind of a shorter service. I just have a very simple message for you, essentially to close out our Christmas series that we've been going through called The King is Coming. And so even this message, my hope is to kind of put the hay, the theological hay, down at the very bottom where everybody can get to it, even if you're 5 or 6 years old, all right? So pretty simple. Just to catch you up, if you haven't been with us on week one, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Brian and I both preached on Advent. We spoke about how the greatest gift we have ever received in our entire lives as a human race is the love of God in the form of Him sending His Son, Jesus, to earth. We talked about how even in the waiting, that's what the word Advent literally means, even in our waiting, even in the hopeful anticipation of Jesus' coming, we can still rejoice because God always fulfills His prophecies and His promises. We looked at Isaiah chapter 40 from the Old Testament and saw that. Last weekend at our actual Christmas services, Pastor JD talked about the wise men who came to see Jesus, that when they came and saw Jesus, they were forever changed for the rest of their lives. One encounter with God in the flesh, and they were never the same. Pastor JD showed us how when they were given the sign of Jesus' coming, which was the star, right? That's why we always celebrate their, or that's the images at Christmas, is the star, that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. He unpacked that phrase for us. Some of you have maybe the next few days or even a week off, and you are exceedingly with great joy rejoicing. Some of you, as he described, are joy, 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 because you don't have to go to work this week. The thing for the wise men, if you remember, that caused their joy wasn't gifts. Jesus didn't come to give them material gifts. He didn't come and perform miracles. He didn't come to give them a guarantee of some type of future prosperity. The only thing that caused their joy, the wise men, was the arrival of God in the flesh that they had been waiting on. And so, like I said, I want to talk to you for maybe 10 minutes here. That's it. And I just want to close out this series and simply ask the question. We've been saying the King has come. Last week, we celebrated that He has come. That's the point of Christmas. So I just want to ask the question, the King has come, so what now? The King has come, so what now? Jesus came, He lived, He died, He rose again. Acts chapter 1, He ascends into heaven. So where does that leave us now? And I want to ponder that question by beginning with another question. The question I want you to think about is, what is the greatest Christmas present you have ever received? The greatest, don't go Jesus, don't go super spiritual on me, okay? That's fine. I asked my kids the other day, and one of them was like, God, and the other was like, oh yeah, well, I got Jesus. And like her answer was better than the others. Of course, we know that as the people of God. I'm talking about like material gift. Go full earth and fleshly here, okay? The greatest gift. For some of you, maybe it was something incredibly extravagant. For some of you, maybe it was something super meaningful. For some, maybe it was just something you had been wanting forever, and somebody got that for you. For some, maybe it wasn't a thing, it was a someone. For me, it was super easy. I think I was 11 years old, and that Christmas, greatest Christmas of my entire life, I got a fully stitched, authentic Ken Griffey Jr. baseball jersey, a Nintendo 64, and my own box TV to play my Nintendo 64 on. So you best bet your boy got about 60 stars in Mario that night. I beat every level on Cruisin' USA, and I learned how to throw a proximity mine in GoldenEye like it was my business. It was my greatest Christmas to date. I'll never forget it. You know, it's always funny if you have kids, maybe you know this, or if you are a kid, you know, it's always funny when a kid gets a new game or a new toy at Christmas, even if it's something they've wanted forever. Because what happens is they unwrap it, right? I just thought of this. You ever seen the Nintendo 64 kid on YouTube? If you haven't, go YouTube it, Nintendo 64 kid. He's like, ah, it's phenomenal. Anyways, neither here nor there. What happens, even if it's a toy that somebody wants, they unwrap it. There's like this initial burst of joy and excitement. But then it dawns on them that they don't actually know how the toy works, right? So they're like, let's open it up. Let's play with it. How do we play with it? Mom, what do we do? Dad, what do we do? They open it up. They examine it. They read the instructions. They tinker with it. They have to play with it. Kids these days probably hop on YouTube and watch videos on how to use it. And then once they mastered it, what's next? They do what any kid would do. At least in my day and age, it meant calling my best friend Danny Payne and say, hey, bro, this is what I got for Christmas, man. You got to come over. You got to play with this thing. You got to see it. They do what any kid would do. They go show off that thing to all of their friends. They show that thing off like it is a prize lottery ticket. They can't help but tell everybody about the gift that they received. And so if you boil it down, it's actually pretty simple. They get a new toy. They grow in knowledge and understanding of that toy. Then they go tell everyone about that toy. Y'all see where I'm going with this? See, first they get, then they grow, then they go. I use that illustration because I think that's exactly what we are called to do as disciples of Jesus until he comes again. This answers the question, the king has come, so now what? We've gotten Jesus, we are to grow in Jesus, and then we go tell others about Jesus. I mean, think about it. Christmas is about what we get. And what did we get? Christmas is the time that we celebrate that we got what we were waiting for. We got God in the flesh. As a church, specifically Summit Kids, we've been following along with Advent blocks. That's where a lot of this material is coming from right now. And the Advent blocks have the same theme as our series we've been going through. The king is coming. What we've seen through the Advent blocks is since the creation of the world, this is what God's people have prayed for. From the creation of the world, from Adam and Eve to Abraham to Leah to Moses to David to Jeremiah to Daniel to Simeon to Anna, all of them kept hoping and praying, God, will you come to earth to stay? We celebrate Christmas because 2,000 years ago, God did just that. He came back. He came to earth. He came down so that you and I could, quote unquote, get God. And just like God tends to do, he did it in a way none of us ever would have expected. We all know the story. We've been talking about it for weeks. God wrapped himself in flesh and sent Jesus to be born in a manger. There was no fanfare. There was no Christmas tree, no lights, no presents to unwrap, no stockings. It was just Mary, Joseph, and a whole bunch of very confused animals in a stable, right? If you've been doing the blocks, you know by now that when you turn them all around, when you get to the last day, it spells out the special Advent block message. Emmanuel, God with us. So if we just think about what this means and how special it is that God has come. God has come to us. His name is Emmanuel and he is here. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. So now that we got Jesus, what's next? Well, just like a kid, we grow. We are to grow in our knowledge and understanding and love for Jesus. We do that, we grow by getting in community with other believers who are going to spur us on and encourage us in the faith. For you, that might mean getting involved in a small group at the start of a new year. For some of you students, it might mean getting involved in Elevate. We grow by getting in community. For others, we grow by spending intentional time in prayer. Every single day, if you've never done this, I would challenge you, just spend 5 minutes every single morning in prayer. You can journal out to God. You just talk to God like he's your friend. You can open up the book of Psalms. I'd recommend that. At the beginning of next year, we're going to start an intentional 20 days of prayer. So I can't encourage you to hop in that with us enough at the beginning of the year. Arguably, the greatest way we grow is by spending time with God, by studying his word. If you haven't been around church for a while, you might have heard Christians talk about a quiet time. That's what that is. So maybe you resolve to have just a 10-minute quiet time at the beginning of every single morning. Our Summit app on our website, we're going to have a Bible reading plan as you head into the new year. And so if you have no idea where to start, I'd encourage you, hop on our website and just download that Bible reading plan. Because we grow, first we get God, then we grow in knowledge and understanding of God by getting in community, by praying, by diving into his word. For instance, this is how we grow in his word. So we could look at the book of Titus and Philippians tells us how to grow as disciples of Jesus. Titus chapters 2 and 3 speak directly to this. It actually speaks to people in specific life stages. So if you're like, well, the Bible's not very relevant to me. It says things like, hey, older men, you want to know how to grow? It says, be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. You're like, well, how do I do that? That's the rest of the Bible. Like, read your Bible. It says to older women, be reverent in behavior, not a slanderer or a gossiper. Teach what is good. Train other young women. Be self-controlled. Be pure. Be kind to younger men. Be self-controlled. Model good works in your teaching, it says. Grow in integrity and dignity and sound speech. And then it says to all. So you're like, well, I'm not an older man or a younger man. I'm not an older woman. It says to all, we are to renounce the ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So when I say grow in Christ, Titus is literally showing us how to grow in Christ. So open up your Bible. Philippians 2 tells us how to do this. It says we're to do all things without grumbling or disputing, that we may be blameless and innocent in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. So the Bible shows us how to grow in Christ. So first we get Jesus, then we grow in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus, which should lead to godliness and self-control and faith and love and behavior and integrity by allowing the Holy Spirit to live through us. Then lastly, just like a kid who has received the greatest present ever learns how to use or play with that present, then they go tell everybody about the present. In fact, look at how Philippians 2 ends. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent. And then it says, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And here's our phrase. When we go, it says we go, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, we as the people of God, we go by shining as lights in the world. When I think about Christmas, one of the main things I think about are lights. This is an annual argument in my household, but just by show of hands or at home, you can argue about this. How many of you, let's say white lights versus colored lights. How many of y'all are white light people? White light people. Okay, you're all wrong. How many of you are colored light people? Thank you, my man over here. Okay, colored light. How about small bulbs versus big bulbs? This is very serious. How about small bulbs? Any big bulb people? Okay, my dad, Willie Andresco, is sitting at home right now, very proud of his son for being a big bulb colored light man with a real tree in his house, okay? Now, regardless of your preference, lights are acceptable from the day after Thanksgiving until New Year's Day. That's it, no longer, okay? So we're settled on that. While the lights are taken down after Christmas is over, here's my question. What if we could keep the joy and the generosity and the spirit of Christmas going all year long? What if I told you there's one more Bible story that says we can do exactly that? And it's not a new one. It's one we know. It's the very first Christmas celebration ever. It's the story of the shepherds who saw baby Jesus. And when they saw him, they sang the song that we have been singing all month. For such a long time, God seemed far away. But now he has heard what we hoped and we prayed. God is coming to earth to stay. See, the shepherds sang this song as they rushed out of the stable and into town, waking people up, telling everyone they met about the baby King Jesus who has come to earth to live with us. See, that's how it is when people see Jesus. That's how it is or should be when we see Jesus, whether it's Christmas time or not. We get Jesus, we grow in Jesus, and then we go tell others about Jesus. Because when you meet Jesus, you just can't help but tell everyone about this story. The story of how much God truly loves his people and how far God has gone to get his people back. The story of God coming to earth to stay. The story of Christmas that you and I should proclaim year-round. I've heard Pastor Charlie Date say that there should be no such thing as a quiet Christian once you have truly experienced the gift of Christmas. To put it in Bible terms, Acts 4:20 says, "For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard." As we long for the return of Jesus again, the day when he will come back, we extend an invitation to everyone around us to know him. We get God, we grow in him, and then we go and tell others. We go tell our neighbors, we tell our family members, we tell our classmates, we tell our friends, we go to the nations. See, we go because they all have something that they long for. And that which they long for has a name. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Summit family, Christmas may be over, but the best part of Christmas lasts forever. That Jesus is still with us, that his presence is a promise in our midst, and that promise is solidified because of the Spirit that lives in you and me. Even when it's hard, even when we feel alone, even when it's not Christmas, what God proved to us is that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And so Christmas may be over, but let's remember what we get. Let's be encouraged to grow and with the love and knowledge of Jesus and the power of the gospel, which is the power unto salvation for all who would believe. Let's go and tell of his life to everyone we know. And then in 2022 Summit, may we see thousands of people come to know Jesus. May thousands more grow as disciples in their relationship with him, all for his glory, for his fame. May his kingdom come in RDU and around the world as it is in heaven.